I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Hello.
And welcome to the programme that answers your questions about families and relationships.
How do you tell your wife you're gay?
How do you tell your wife she's gay?
And how do you tell your wife you're not gay, but you found a cracking way to get cheap antiques?
Later on, Nigel Rees will be telling us about his hilarious new book, Great Publishing Disasters.
Yes, we've got 50,000 copies to give away.
We'll also be tackling the problem of people who receive persistent, unwanted telephone calls.
I'll be talking to Mrs. Carol Big Jugs of Leicester.
Our first topic this week is education. Mention education and we automatically think of school.
But of course, the learning process starts much earlier than that.
Oh, isn't he lovely?
The best baby in the world.
He's got his dad's eyes.
Oui, c'est vrai.
Pardon?
Il a les yeux de son père.
Why are you talking in French?
Well, come on, darling, we've got to give him a head start over the opposition.
But Derek, he's only half an hour old. He's just got the hang of breathing, never mind the pluperfect.
But it's a jungle out there.
A what?
A dense tropical growth of thickets and brushwood or rainforest covering around 6% of the Earth's surface area.
Oh, Derek, just stop it.
Oh, all right, all right. I suppose too soon marred, although so early made. Romeo and Juliet, Act 1, Scene 2.
Derek, let him learn things in his own good time. For all we know, he could be thick as two short planks.
Oh, come on.
Why not? He's got your eyes.
We're discussing education. In a moment, illiteracy, antisocial behaviour and bullying. How do PE teachers get away with it? Most sensible people agree that selective schools are an excellent idea.
Unless, of course, they decide not to select your child.
In which case it's just not fair and the whole rotten system stinks.
So, how do you get your child into some sort of fee-paying school?
Without actually paying.
It's very good of you to see us.
Not at all, not at all.
We're at a wit's end.
Yes, we've tried the public schools, the grant-maintained schools.
Yes, Catholic schools.
Sports schools.
Stage schools.
School for gifted children.
We even tried a driving school.
Yes, but they got quite offensive.
Well, if he has half the talent you say he has in your letter, I'm sure we'll find a place for him. Uh-huh. Now then, Simon, let's see what your voice is like. Yes. Can he play the piano?
Not as such, no.
Any other musical instruments?
Well, no.
Kazoo?
No.
Comb and paper?
He can hit jam jars with a stick.
Oh, aye. With a regular tempo and sense of rhythm?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but...
Well, I'm afraid I have to say that this child is one of the most talentless I've ever met. He seems to have not one whit of aptitude for music. He's dull, gormless, fairly ugly. It's hard to imagine a child so utterly and unprepossessingly useless.
Oh, well, I suppose that's something.
Aye, aye.
So, what do you suggest we do?
Well, it's a bit of a long shot.
What?
Have you thought of training him up for Channel 5?
In a moment, who make the nastiest bullies? Boys or girls?
Well, you know, Mike, I think I'd have to say it was girls.
You sound like you're talking from experience, Sue.
Well, sadly, I am, yes. As you know, I went to a strict convent school where I saw firsthand the wanton cruelty inflicted on girls by other girls.
Would it help to describe this cruelty in some detail?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh. But you saw it.
Well, actually, Mike, I was doing it. I was a bully, and I'm deeply ashamed.
Oh, come on, Sue. We've all subjected our weaker fellows to a bit of high-spirited horseplay. It's only natural, writing on each other with pens, shaving people's hair off, rolling them up in a carpet and setting fire to it.
I see. Well, we rather went in for psychological bullying, you know, telling girls they were fat, sending them to Coventry, talking in made-up languages so they couldn't join in.
Well, you're right. That is worse.
No, it's not. What you did to those poor boys was dreadful.
Oh, I wasn't a bully. No, I tried to stop it.
And did you?
Well, it's not easy when you're rolled up in a carpet. Education isn't what it used to be.
And here to remind us how much better things were in the old days, we're joined by retired headmaster, Mr. Harold Beddoes.
We've met before, haven't we?
Definitely not.
Mr. Bedders, I understand you're opposed to the return of corporal punishment.
Oh, yes. As though those days have gone forever. However fondly we may remember the crack of bamboo against quivering guilty buttocks.
But a guaranteed discipline.
Oh, yes. But discipline at a price.
A price?
A career spent thrashing boys' bottoms through the tightest of white gym shorts must inevitably condemn an old man to a lifetime of remorse and specialist publications.
Are you saying it hurt you more than it hurt them?
Oh, yes. Some of them quite enjoyed it. And who could blame them, hearing that swish through the air?
I think we'll move on now.
I remember one lad in particular, ghastly child, ingratiating and cowardly, used to muck up his prep deliberately in the hope of getting the cane.
Mr. Westbrook of a red car has written to us.
Good Lord. It is. Doris.
Doris?
Child I was telling you about.
Well, lovely to see you again, sir.
Yes. Slimy as ever. Doris.
Why Doris?
First form tart. Say he was in a once for a packet of Spangles.
Yes, well, it was all a very, very long time ago.
Yes, my wife always said that one will either end up in prison or hosting some low-rent daytime magazine show.
That's not what you put in my school reports. You said I was clever.
I said you were cunning.
Same thing.
Devious, lazy, wily, supine.
Now, you look here. I've done pretty well for myself.
Absolutely obsessed with money, yet a moral and spiritual pauper.
Well, sadly, we can't linger on this touching scene.
He did have another nickname as well.
Oh, go on, what was it?
Yes, well, coming up next, exams are testing time for the family.
I wish I could remember.
Does the stress of the kids revising put too much strain on everyone?
Is testing for six-year-olds opening the floodgates of
wet some... Wet pants, that was it. Wet pants.
Get him out of here.
Like Niagara Falls, he
was. Please, security, get him out.
Most of us imagine that education is all over when we've got our degrees.
Or whatever qualifications we've got. Some of us don't need bits of paper, just maturity and experience and wisdom.
And plastic underwear. For those of us who decide to stay in academia, the fight to stay on top never ends.
Excuse me, there's someone sitting here.
Sorry, I didn't see you there. Now, I'm the new Dotty Professor.
Eh? You can't be.
What? Afraid so. Mad as a tree on a swing.
But I'm the Dotty Professor in this college, have been for 25 years.
Well, this is St. Gregory's, isn't it?
Yes.
Looks like one of us will have to go, doesn't it?
Well, I was here first.
So what? I'm madder than you are. Look, I can't find my spectacles. Ah, there they are on the top of my head.
I don't call that mad. That's mildly forgetful. Why aren't you wearing a nightie?
I don't need to. I can do this.
All right, all right. If you're really mad, how come you're in the right college?
Oh, that old chestnut. Yeah. Well, the answer's quite simple, you know. I have random flashes of lucidity.
That's cheating.
Deedle-daddle-doodle-daddle.
Right. We'll see who's the maddest. I'm going to set fire to my trousers. There!
Well, that's nothing. Watch this.
Watch what?
I've just translated the whole of Finnegan's Wake into Javanese in my head.
You fiend!
What are you doing now?
I'm giving myself a liver transplant.
All right, if you think that's mad, watch this!
Oh, my God!
What's happened?
Mad enough for you?
That man's just shot Professor Dobson!
Oh, now I'm the Dotty Professor of St. Gregory's.
But this isn't St. Gregory's.
What?
He was always getting things mixed up. Mad as a wardrobe.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
And now your letters and calls. We've had an email from Mr. Crane of Reading who says...
Dear Mike and Sue, here is the email I promised you. I hope it got there all right.
And we've had a phone call from Jonathan Drinkwater of Cardiff, who says...
I'm just checking to see if you got the email. I'm not too sure if my software is working properly.
Oh, and we've just had a fax from Sir Bernard Crawley, the chairman of the Commission for International Trade. He says, could you remind Doris that I once paid him a packet of Spangles and he never delivered?
Anyway, education.
Happily, the time is long past when young people learn the facts of life from behind the bike shed.
Or from some stuffy old book full of diagrams.
Or from a fumbled encounter in the back row of the cinema.
Or from some stuffy old book.
Or from a guilty coupling at summer camp with a friend's older brother.
Or from a book.
Yes, in the bad old days, first contact with the opposite sex could only mean one thing.
It was your wedding night.
Or it was letting the boys from the grammar school feel your breasts for 5p a time. Or was it 10? No, 10 was for inside no bra.
But some leading educationists believe that sex education lessons that only deal with the nuts and bolts should be replaced by those that would be more useful later in life.
For instance, many think that boys should take extra languages. Apart from French and German, they should study girl.
That was really good.
Right, if you could open your textbooks, Intermediate Girl at page 23, module 5, paranoia. Right, shut it. Paranoia in the home. Stephen, stop it. I mean it, Stephen. Okay, Julian, will you read us phrase one in girl, please?
Oh, are you all right? You look really down.
And the English translation, please, Simon.
I saw the way you were looking at Miranda in the pub last night. I know you fancy her more than me. I'm not stupid.
Excellent, Simon. Right. Now, what would the correct response from the male to the question, are you all right, you look really down, be in girl, please? Julian.
I'm fine.
Come on, Julian, you're not thinking. I'm fine in girl means, Simon.
I hate you, I hate you, I hate you!
No, that's right. Stephen, how would you respond?
Is it you look fat?
Stephen, don't be an utter clot. Simon, the right response, please, to the question, are you all right, you look really down?
Miss, might you say... No, not at all. Sorry, am I being boring, darling? Oh, that's a nice top. You look gorgeous today.
Yes, you might. That's excellent. Thanks, excellent miss. Work, thanks, Simon.
How'd you know that?
I'm bilingual. I've got 5 sisters.
Oh. Right. Paranoid interrogatives number 2. In this case, the first part is silent. And then the girl says, did you know that the paint that they use on radiators gives off a radioactive smell if it overheats? What does that mean in English, Julian?
It means I've been reading Cosmopolitan again.
Not when it's in the interrogative case, Stephen.
Is this the one to do with her thinking she's fat, miss?
No. It means, can't we just have a conversation for once? That's all not too much to ask, is it? I despair of you lot, I really do. Pardon, Simon.
Shut up.
You might not think this is relevant now, but you'll regret not having paid attention when you're on a 2-week camping holiday with your fiancé in the Dordogne. Seeming capable of understanding paranoia, so we're just going to have to go back to appearance again until you get it.
Not appearance.
It's just some old thing I found in the bottom of my cupboard.
I bought this today, but I'm feeling slightly insecure about it.
Was really cheap.
It cost £130. And I think the ruffles round the waist make me look fat. Tell me the ruffles round my waist don't make me look fat.
Oh, thank God that's over. I hate girl. It's my worst subject by far.
Me too. I'm going to give it up and do gay as my other language.
Yeah. Oh, cabbie.
Yeah. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue. And now it's time for another episode of our edgy and hard-hitting drama for the 90s, Albion Close.
Look, I'm warning you, all right? Just leave it out.
You're telling me to leave it out?
Look, leave it out.
This is my house and no one's leaving anything out.
Look, just leave it out, all right?
Yeah, you lot, just leave it out, all right?
I was leaving it out.
Leave it out.
I was in the middle of leaving it out when you...
Just leave it out, all right?
I haven't had a chance to leave it out.
Leave it.
Look, all three of you, just leave it out.
Leave it out.
Oi, you four, just pack it in.
I was just about to leave it out. Now you're telling me to pack it in.
Look, just pack it in, all of you.
Leave it out.
Pack it in.
Look, all five of you, just shut it.
That is great. I tell you, I was that far from leaving it out and packing it in, and now you tell me to shut it.
Leave it out.
Shut it.
Pack it in.
Just leave it.
Shut it.
Anyone want a cup of tea?
And there'll be more gritty and controversial drama when the series returns in the autumn.
Our final topic today, money. As we all know, money can't buy you love.
But it might buy you a Conservative MP.
Some people are interested in the actual coins themselves, and we call these people by a very long, very hard to pronounce name.
Numismatists.
I know. Joining us now as one of Britain's premier numismatists, Brian Jenkins.
Hello.
So, Brian, I believe you have one of the largest collections in the country.
That's right. Over 20,000 coins.
So, what have you brought us that's of special interest?
Well, here's one I'm particularly proud of. Isn't she a beauty?
Is she?
Yes. 10 pence piece, Cupra Nickel, 1992.
I see. And what's special about this one?
Oh, all coins are special to the expert.
Right.
I mean, take this one, for example. 10 pence piece, Cupra Nickel, 1992.
Yes, so how's that different from the one you've just shown me?
Different?
Yes, I thought the whole idea was to look for some sort of imperfection or rarity value.
Look, this is a coin collection, not a freak show.
So, your notion of coin collecting is to find some coins.
And collect them, yes.
And these 20,000 coins you've got, they're all 1992 10 pence pieces?
Yes. Not long now.
And then what?
And I'll have them all.
So what's the point of that?
The point is that under the new order, anyone who wants a 1992 10 pence piece will be forced to buy it from me at a premium.
I'm sorry, who the heck would want to buy a 1992 10 pence piece at a vastly inflated price?
Well, you'll be surprised. A lot of nutcases out there.
So, if I had a 1992 10 pence piece... Yes, there we are. Now, this is something that would interest you, is it?
Give it to me.
Sorry, mate.
It's mine. I deserve it.
It's yours for a fiver.
You crafty kid. Give it to me.
On your knees and beg.
Never.
On your knees, worm.
Money. It pervades every aspect of our lives and beyond.
Where am I? What happened? The last thing I remember is the bus coming towards me. Am I dead? Is this heaven?
Not quite. There are one or two formalities to go through before I can let you in.
Are you St. Peter?
Yes, yes. Now, if I could just have your name, please.
Thompson. Dennis Thompson.
Let's see. Thompson. Here we are. Yes, that seems to be in order.
You mean I'm in?
Yep. Quite an impressive record. Lifetime's kindness to everyone, even if they're phoning to sell you a fitted kitchen. Spotless married life, tireless work for charity, consistently voted liberal. Yes, congratulations. You can even skip purgatory.
But that's wonderful. That's marvellous. Oh, praise the Lord.
That's the idea. Now, how do you wish to pay?
I'm sorry?
Not another one. I haven't got any money.
Well, of course I haven't. I mean, you know what they say. You can't take it with you.
Oh, here we go.
But didn't our Lord himself say that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle
Look,
than a rich...
He came out with all sorts of stuff. He's an artist, all right? Have you any idea how much this place costs to run? I mean, we are living in the real world now.
I gave all my money away in my will to my wife, my family, the dog's home. It's what you're supposed to do.
Sorry, mate. Looks like the other place for you.
The other place?
Oh, it's not that bad. I've heard it's a bit like Croydon on Boxing Day. Next, please.
But there must be some way I could...
Well, this is highly irregular. But in view of your excellent record, I may be able to authorize a loan.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
I can advance you enough for board, lodgings and a triple H-pack.
What's that?
Harp, halo, and heavenly raiment. Repayable over a fixed term, shall we say 3 billion years?
Yeah, well, okay.
At 20% interest?
But that's usury. I thought that was a sin.
It is. This is extortion. Read your Bible, clever clogs.
How do you expect me to get the money to pay it back?
Look, simple. I'll get you a job.
Just like that.
Well, we do have miracles up here, you know. Now, we've got a vacancy for a dirt shoveler.
Eh?
You follow Robert Maxwell around with a shovel.
Excuse me?
With a shovel.
Did you say Robert Maxwell was up here?
Well, you see, you can take it with you. Now, here's your bucket.
In a moment, what's it like to have more money than sense?
We talk to Lord Archer.
But first, we look at the issue of money as it affects relationships.
For some couples, money isn't an issue.
For some couples, it is.
But for most, the real issue about money is trying to pretend it's not an issue.
Mmm. Delicious. Mm. We must come here again.
Mmm, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jemima.
Pardon?
Thank you for the meal. I really enjoyed it.
But I...
Very, very kind of you.
Gordon, sorry, have I got it wrong? I thought it was your turn to pay. You know, it's not the money, obviously. I'm more than happy to pick it up.
I see. Well, I'd be delighted to do it, but if we're going strictly you pay, I pay, you pay, like you said, then it's definitely your turn.
Right. Sorry, but is it? Mm? You see, because I thought I got the last one. Ravenelli's on Saturday. See, yes, I did. I've written it in my checkbook. £45, Ravenelli's. I paid for Gordon as well. Look, I've even written that down. I mean, not because I minded paying, obviously. More just, you know, to know for myself.
I got that thing in between, you know, for the house.
What thing did you get for the house? Sorry, I'm not being stingy. I've even forgotten completely about the bill now. I'm just, you know, I'm just interested.
It was the Yoo-hoo.
Oh, right, yeah. To stick the plate together.
Yeah, so I got that, you see, so it is your actual turn. Not that we should get our knickers in a twist.
I just didn't realise that we were counting non-meals as terms.
Ah, yeah.
You know, because I paid for the new sofa, didn't I, on Tuesday?
Yeah, but I did that shopping on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you ran out for an onion.
A red onion. Yeah.
I'm getting the feeling, Gordon, that I'm not doing too well out of this whole turns thing.
We needn't do it at all. As I've said, I'm more than happy to be an old-fashioned bloke and treat you all the time.
Oh, no. I mean, no, don't be silly.
Well,
no, I mean, I'll get it.
Okay,
I've only got switched, though. Can you...
Well, I'll do the tip, yeah.
Thanks. Does doing the tip count as a turn, then?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Money.
And here to tell us a bit about...
Excuse me, I thought I was doing this action.
Tax advice?
Yes, we decided that I would do the heavyweight stuff.
And you think this is heavyweight?
Isn't it?
Well, sure, go ahead.
You mean you don't mind?
Why should I mind?
Well, I was afraid you might come over all liberated.
No, tax advice is obviously far too complex for my fluffy, girly brain to wrap itself around.
That's the spirit.
I'm going to enjoy this.
Money. And I'm joined now by top financial expert Derek Evans, who's going to tell us how to prevent the taxman getting his hands on our hard-earned pennies.
Well, almost, Mike. We have to remember that taxes go to pay for the things that we all need, you know, like hospitals, schools, care for the elderly.
Oh, sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to make it absolutely clear that Mike Meadows is a good citizen, and if I had to pay tax, I would.
What do you mean, if you had to?
I mean, you're a financial expert?
Yeah.
You're not telling me you like paying tax?
Well, I don't really have much choice.
But you're mad! Look, I'll give you my accountant's number.
No, I don't think you understand, Mike. I work for the Inland Revenue.
What?
I'm a tax inspector.
Sue, do you mind taking over?
Sorry, Mike, I'm busy darning a toilet roll cover over here. You carry on.
Derek, what I said just then, that was, of course, a hypothetical example of what people shouldn't do.
Absolutely, Mike, yeah.
But surely it's all right if your accountant signed you up for some wonderful tax evasion scheme.
Tax avoidance.
What's the difference?
About 3 years in jail.
I see.
And we've actually got a caller on line one. Peter from Maidstone has a point he'd like to make about tax.
Yes, hello. I just want to say that I went to prison for fiddling my tax, and it was the worst 12 months of my life.
And this was in an open prison or something?
Oh, no. No, it was the scrubs. The conditions were really barbaric. And because I was middle class, the other prisoners really took it out on me. Urine in my food, you name it.
Well, this was probably back in the bad old days, am I right?
Oh, no, I've only just got out. And there was some other guy had it even worse than me. They found out he was someone off the telly, but it'll never work again because of what they did to his face.
Sue, would you take over, please?
To me?
I need to make a few calls.
Yeah, before you go, Mike, have you got that number for your accountant?
Now, time was when money was the responsibility of the head of the household. But these days, family finance is exactly that.
Dad, is it all right if Susie and I play football down the park?
All right, but I'll need to see a costing.
Duh, don't need a costing, Dad. The park's free. Yeah,
maybe, but as chief executive of the Dobson Family PLC, I'd be failing in my duty if I didn't consider the below-the-line costs. Depreciation on your football, use of breakfast, wear and tear on your clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing, Dad. I could really do with some, you know, new trousers.
What's wrong with the pair you've got?
Well, I've had them for 3 years, Dad. They're falling apart. And that's not all.
So I see.
Yeah. So can everyone else. So I'm a growing lad.
Yes, yes. Well, the annual report says you grew by 7% last year, despite our agreeing 5% in the business plan.
I can't help it, Dad. It's called puberty.
All the same, what you're asking for is a capital investment. And given the current state of the family finances, this would require a new share issue, which could leave us vulnerable to a takeover.
Oh, don't be stupid. Who'd want to take us over?
Well, I've heard predatory noises from Colborne and son, and daughter and wife. And Mr. Patterson recently made your mother a very generous offer. You want some new trousers? Then someone's going to have to go.
I quite agree.
Susie?
Yeah, if the company's performing badly, then changes must be made. At the top, costs are getting higher, meals are getting smaller, and as far as women are concerned, it is clear that this company operates a glass ceiling.
Look, it's a small house. I mean, someone's got to sleep in the conservatory.
Sorry, Dad. I'm going to call for your resignation at a special board meeting of all the directors, Mum, Gran, Auntie Jojo, and the cat.
Brilliant. He's sure to be outvoted.
All right, look, I've had a better idea. Why don't you and Susie go and play down the park?
Well, that's nearly all for this week. But now, some last-minute travel news.
Mike?
What?
I've got a bit of a message for you.
Yeah, we're on the air. Can't it wait?
Your accountant rang. It sounded really important. He says, right, don't admit anything to anybody, but if the... Sorry, I can't read that word. Hits the fan, then you're the one who signed the tax return. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. Thank you very much.
Oh, and don't bother to call him because he's fled the country.
But there's just time to go over now to the weather studio.
Oh, Sue.
Hello.
Sue, yeah, bit of a message from Sir Alan Roberts.
What?
The chief executive of Associated British Oil. Yeah, he says, if inside no bra was 10p, then you owe him 5p change.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What shall I tell him?
Oh, I don't know. Just say I'll toss him for it.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Ian Brown from an idea by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Jan Ravens with Roger Blake, Alistair McGowan, Sally Phillips and Neil Ashdown. Music was by Mark Burton and the producer was Joe Clegg.